Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for your abundant grace and generosity towards us, and we thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us today and give your grace to us anew this morning. Speak through me, Lord. Give me words to speak to your people and give us all ears to hear your word. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as you know, there's a lot going on in the life of our church right now, and I think a lot of this is pointing to this Sunday, actually. The capital campaign of our church for this new building that we'll be moving into is starting to get ramped up. There will actually, I think, be a presentation today as part of the service. But in addition to that, today is the fifth Sunday of the month in which there's only a few of those in a year in which all of the cash offering during the offering is given towards the benevolence fund, given towards those who are in need by means of the church. Also, in addition, this Sunday in the lectionary, God has sovereignly woven all this together with 2 Corinthians 8, our New Testament passage, which is about benevolence, a radical generosity for the saints who are in need. So I believe God has sovereignly given me a word for us today, and that means don't shoot the messenger if I say anything that offends you. Radical generosity has been one of Christ Church's values from the beginning, from as far back as the first time I was here back in 2012. It was one of the values, central values of our church family. And it is an embodiment of God's own radical generosity. But this is rooted in the Holy Scriptures, that we could see a clear example in 2 Corinthians 8 today, in particular, the example of the Church of Macedonia. So I want to unpack the Scriptures today and see what God is inviting us into in this radical generosity. So join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Before we talk about this this letter, the Corinthian church, I have some background to give first. In Acts chapter 11, we hear of a catastrophe, a natural disaster, a massive famine that takes place in the world, and in particularly hits the city and the church of Jerusalem pretty hard. And when this happens, the church decides to mobilize. We see in Acts 11, verse 29, the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders, or the presbyters, the priests, by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. This natural disaster hits Jerusalem, and the saints there on the ground need aid, need help. And so the 12 disciples, the 11 disciples, decide to mobilize the churches that have been planted throughout the Roman Empire in order to help and send relief to the church of Jerusalem. And St. Paul himself takes part in helping to raise this sort of support and this need for this church. In fact, we see this in the first letter to this church in Corinth in chapter 16. St. Paul, in his letter, is encouraging them to jump into this relief effort. He says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," and that's the saints in Jerusalem, "as I directed the churches of Galatia, so also you are to do. On the first day of every week," that's Sunday, "each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem." So St. Paul is raising, in particular, funds to send relief to the church in Jerusalem. And the Corinthians decide that this church in Corinth decides they want to participate in this. And in fact, they begin this process and they get really excited about it. St. Paul references this in 2 Corinthians, today's chapter, 2 Corinthians 8. he mentions that that they have started this a year previously, according to this letter. In verse 10, he says, "In this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it." But then in verse 18, he says, "So now finish doing it as well." So the Corinthians get really excited. They want to participate in this effort to help the church in Jerusalem. They start this project and then forget about it, and then just kind of lose it in the shuffle of all the other things they're really excited about doing. They get distracted by a squirrel or something else. And so they forget about this project that they've begun. And St. Paul, as part of this letter to the Corinthian church, is reminding them, hey, you guys started this. You got really excited about it. So finish this work. And St. Paul uses the example of the church in Macedonia, which is kind of a rival church, a rival city to Corinth. So he points out their rivals who are doing a little bit better job than they are. In verse 1, we hear him start this whole conversation by saying, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy, their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." When you hear extreme poverty, you imagine like third world, mud huts. That's what comes to our mind. I mean, they are living in extreme poverty and they're under persecution. They're not liked in their community. And yet they are excited to raise support and help this church in Jerusalem. So this is for the saints that are in need that they want to help out with. And it's entirely voluntary. We hear in verse 3, "They gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." They're like, please use us. Please let us be part of this. They give like way beyond what they should be giving, we might think, humanly speaking, because they're extremely poor. But they want to participate in this effort. They're really excited, and they follow through on what they start. Why? What is the deal with the Church of Macedonia? This incredible example of extreme radical generosity during extreme radical poverty. And this extreme radical and kind of insane excitement to give when they have so little. What's their deal? See, the Macedonians saw this as an invitation to participate in God's own radical generosity. They knew that God is a generous and giving God. He generously created all that is when he didn't need to, when we don't need to exist. He didn't have to do this out of requirement. He just did it because he was generous and gracious. And then he generously created humankind in his image, and then generously gifted mankind the entire universe. It's a gift for us to help govern. Because God of his own nature is generous. The relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this mutual indwelling and giving of oneself to Father to the Son to the Father, and Holy Spirit to the Father and the Son is such a good and incredible relationship that God created this entire universe to welcome into it. James 1:17 reminds us also that every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights. So every good that we have, daily bread, the necessities, the daily provision that we have, is part of God's blessing to us, part of his generosity towards us. But more so than that, he has given for us and for our salvation his very own Son. And Jesus has given of himself for us and for our salvation. This is what we hear St. Paul remind the Corinthian church today in verse 9. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Or in Jesus' words, "This is my body given for you." The ultimate expression of God's giving is through Jesus giving up his own life for us. Benevolence. And we, as members of Christ's body, are welcomed and invited into the participation of Christ's very own generosity. More than just following his example, we become part of this offering up of ourselves. As God gives to us, we give ourselves back to God and to others. This is what we hear of the Macedonians in verse 5. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. And that giving is the same variation of the word grace. We embody Christ's example that we hear here, though he was rich, he became poor, by giving up what we have voluntarily to others in need, and conversely receive from others in our time of need. And this is what we hear in verse 14. Your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need. And this giving, this radical generosity that God has invited us into, it changes our hearts. First off, this kind of giving virtue cannot be faked like other virtues could be. This is what we hear in verse 7. As you excel in everything, in faith, speech, knowledge, and all earnestness, which a lot of that could be faked, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is general. Giving, you have skin in the game when you give, and it proves the virtue that's there. But in addition, it also changes the heart. You see, Jesus Christ himself says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you are giving towards the relief of the saints, towards the kingdom of God, your heart is aimed at the kingdom of God. You have skin in the game. There is heart change that this works to do within us. And St. Paul reminds us that we become a means of God's grace, a vehicle of God. We become a sacrament so that others receive the grace of God through us. Verse 1, again, I want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. That's the same word there, grace. In verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. We become part of God's grace to others. But this is all done as an act of worship. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12, the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. This is the generosity of God, from God, through us, back to God. God is glorified when we live a radical, generous lifestyle. And again, we are changed by means of this. And just reading this example, can you see the ways that this giving God is inviting us to become more like him? He's transforming us more and more in the image of his son, Jesus Christ, by means of radical generosity and participating in God's own radical generosity. So St. Paul is calling us today to be radical in our generosity on behalf of others, in benevolence, to follow the Macedonian example of following Christ. And when we participate in God's generosity, God works through us, our hearts are transformed, and we become more and more like Jesus. So how do we do this? First off, it needs to be reminded that a radical, generous lifestyle is entirely voluntary. It's entirely voluntary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, St. Paul reminds us in verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I'm not twisting anyone's arm. Also, not recommending anyone be foolish. This is someone who has prayerfully sat down in wisdom to think through what they can give and what they can give by their own means. And so that's what we're called to do by God's word. But secondly, this is not a replacement for the normal life of giving that we are called to do. You know, the regular, normal giving towards the church. This is an above and beyond almsgiving for those who are in need. How can we do this? Three different ways that you could live this out. Individually, you can collect material items like food, water bottle, things like this. Write a nice, kind letter and place it in a little Ziploc baggie and keep this in your car. And when you see someone in need, you can just give it to them and say, God bless. And that's a giving out blessing baggies to just bless, individually bless people who are in need. Secondly, your life group, which I think our life groups are going to be doing this more often, but our small groups can participate in ministries like Salem Pregnancy Center, Hope Pregnancy Center, in collecting for the baby bottle campaign, change around the house, and give those to those centers, and it gets to the people who are in need, who maybe have an unexpected pregnancy and are just in need and desperate, and this blesses them. But the vehicle that Paul has in mind when he is raising support with these different churches is the church. Again, today's the fifth Sunday of the month, and cash offering is given directly towards the benevolence fund. It doesn't go to me, doesn't go to Father Benji, doesn't go to the operating fund of the church, but it goes to those who are in need. So this is one way that you can participate in the radical generosity of God here at Christ Church, even this morning. That's what the call is today, to participate in God's incredible, lavish, and radical generosity for the sake of others. Let us answer that call prayerfully. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.